Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop and Metal Shop Backstage Pass. You're listening to an interview with Chad Green, vocalist of Frozen Soul, Fort Worth, Texas band that just released an awesome record on Century Media, their Century Media debut called Crypt of Ice. How are you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing really good. Doing really good.
By the time... I'm doing pretty good, too. By the time people hear this, it may be unveiled, but are you okay with mentioning what you're doing right now?
Yeah, I'm actually picking up some blocks of ice, some blocks of dry ice, to be specific, to use for a music video for our song Arctic Stranglehold. So,
dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you guys have like a crew with you, some friends doing it? Are you guys doing it DIY? How are you guys setting up the video today?
Yeah, it's all DIY.
Sick.
I mean, we do have friends that help us, but like they're like kind of, I mean, they help us. We do everything together. So,
yeah.
I mean, we have our friend Dave that actually shot some stuff for us pretty recently for a cool like live stream event that we're going to be doing.
That's awesome.
So we just brought him on board again and decided to work on this video. It's adding stuff to a video that was actually already made.
Okay.
By Tanner McCardle, the same guy who did he's the same guy who did the Encased in Ice music video.
Sick.
So yeah, we just wanted to add some stuff to it to really give the song, like, you know, that push, because that song is one of our favorite songs on the record. So we want to make sure that the video represents that.
Absolutely, man. And congratulations on the release, man. I saw, you know, so many people sharing the page. I saw sharing the album. I saw Trevor from Black Dahlia Murder giving you guys some hype. It was like all I could see on the day it was released, and it's getting some great reviews. I love the record. Congratulations, man.
Thanks a lot, brother. Means a lot.
Absolutely, man. So I'm curious about how you guys got hooked up with Century Media. Were they just pumped on your release on Maggot Stomp?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, you know, we had some friends pushing for us too, like, you know, Eric from Gate Creeper and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike Gitter actually reached out to us. He's their vice president of A&R. And he just kind of was putting feelers out there and asking, like, what we were doing, what our plans were, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, once we got to talking and once he, I guess he liked what he heard and, you know, we decided to move forward. But he had said that he had been seeing our name on social media for a while.
Yep.
So, you know, we were on his radar. So, yeah, that's how it all started. I mean, it's been really sick.
It's kind of crazy when you look at the Century Media roster and just think about all the bands that you're now label mates with, right? Like all the possibilities when the world opens up again, the possibilities for touring on like a Century Media
wild.
Tour. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been wild, man. It's wild to be a part of that legacy, you know?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah, so what a weird time to be putting out your debut LP. Are you, was this something you guys were working on during the pandemic, or did you guys have it ready before?
We had most of it ready before. We thought we were done with it.
Yeah.
And then we just decided to revisit some things once we had some member changes.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up hammering it out probably like the end of February.
Okay.
And then everything kind of like, you know, news started coming in really about like, you know, the virus hitting the States.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then, you know, towards the middle of March, everything starts shutting down.
Yep.
And we were in the studio at that time. So we were finishing up recording. And it was wild, man. It's a real weird time to be alive, you know.
Absolutely, man. And yeah, it is a weird time to be alive, and it's an odd time to put out an album. But at the same time, I feel like a lot of people, you know, we can't go out and like see you guys live and watch you play live. But we can always. I feel like there's a renewed interest in like albums and like discovery, which is really cool.
Yeah, for sure. I feel the exact same way. We were worried a lot. The record was originally supposed to come out in November, on November 13th.
Yeah.
But, that obviously was not, with the election and everything and
the
climate of our country and all that stuff. Like we just decided to push it until mm-hmm. the beginning of the year. And,
yeah.
I think it was really good. I think, everything was very well received. It was a lot crazier and better than I thought it would be, given like the pandemic and stuff. Like I was really worried that it was just going to cripple us, but honestly, like all the reviews, like people having the time to do that stuff.
Yep.
Whereas normally they'd be working and, you know, or they'd be going to shows or yep. whatever, you know, doing things, and they can't. So like the internet, you know, pop has actually been like, I think has been better because of the pandemic actually. So, it's wild. It's just really crazy how, you know, things happen sometimes and you just would never expect it, you know?
Hey man, you were rewarded. If you look at it this way, you were rewarded for taking a chance and just putting it out there and you know, you were rewarded
for
having that courage.
That's how we feel.
How have you been staying sane, man? And that maybe is a reach to assume that you've been staying sane, but during the last 10 months, how you been, you know, filling your time aside from getting the music ready and probably practicing and stuff?
Well, I mean, to be honest, like we've just stayed on top of the ball, you know.
Yeah.
We've sit there and, you know, and kept practicing, we keep writing, we keep, you know, most of us live together.
So, oh, cool.
So like we're able to, you know, still practice and all that stuff. You know, work on new content. Like I said, we're continuing to do videos. So we're doing a lot more videos and we're doing live streams. We have live streams set up and stuff. And not just regular live streams, like actual events with other bands and stuff. So we tried to make it special.
Yeah.
Just honestly trying to stay on top of my physical health.
Nice.
I kind of got in a rough spot mentally at the, you know, from the beginning, at, like right after we finished recording the record. Because I wasn't busy right then and there
mm-hmm.
anymore. The pandemic hit me pretty hard. It hit all of us pretty hard.
Okay.
But we were able to pick ourselves up and get back on the ball. And I started going to the trail and hiking and,
nice.
And working out 6 days a week and, you know, like just trying to like prepare my body and my mind for the future and stay positive and stuff. So
that's going to help out when you guys are on the road, man. That's going to help out.
For sure. For sure. So, yeah, our drummer Matt has also been going to the gym with me every day. And yeah, we normally go hit the trail and then gym right afterwards, and then go get lunch and stuff. So,
yeah.
It's been good. It's been a good routine, and I'm back at work now.
Nice.
And, you know, so things were rough, but they got better, and I think we all learned a lot about ourselves and, you know, each other. So there's some good takeaway from it so far.
Nice, man. Well, I've only been to Texas, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago when I went to WrestleMania over at Dallas, in Dallas.
Yeah.
And but I do love some Texas metal, and the two bands that I think of most when I think of Texas metal are Power Trip, R.I.P. Riley Gale, and Pantera.
Yep.
What are two, if we were going to do the Mount Rushmore of Texas metal, assuming that, you know, Power Trip and Pantera are on there, what are two more that you could add to the Mount Rushmore of Texas metal?
Most definitely Iron Age.
Yes.
Iron Age, those guys are, you know, amazing, good friends, and, you know, incredible band.
R.I.P. Wade.
Definitely, yeah. That definitely didn't get the attention they deserved. I'll tell you that. And I'd say, other than that, Devourment from Dallas.
Oh, I love Devourment. Didn't realize they were a Texas band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're from Dallas.
Hell
so,
yeah.
Yeah, they're actually, we're doing our live stream is actually with them in Creepy Death. So. We got like a cool event planned for that, but
that's awesome.
But yeah, man, that's it. I mean, there's a ton more though. But,
oh yeah.
I mean,
oh yeah.
Those are two huge ones.
So sorry to cut you off, but I saw that you on your Metal Archives page, I saw that you used to sing for a band called Vulgar Display. Assuming you're a Pantera fan, with the name like that for a band, what's your favorite Pantera album?
Definitely Cowboys from Hell.
Nice.
But I actually drummed for that band.
Oh, okay.
I'm a drummer originally.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, that yeah, definitely Cowboys from Hell. That album meant a whole lot to me as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, Pantera has been catching a lot of, you know, flack lately for political and whatnot views and things that have been done and said, but I mean, I grew up, listening to Pantera, mm-hmm. and they definitely impacted my life a whole lot in terms of heavy metal, you know. And Primal Concrete Sledge definitely, like, that song, like, straight up, like, impacted my drumming and how I learned to, like, set up riffs and stuff like that. So
nice.
Yeah.
I don't think the impact and the importance of the Pantera album should be I don't think it should be downplayed by the latter-day sins of certain members. I think that the album should be able to speak for themselves, man. Just good music. And as Doc Coyle has said from God Forbid, he said, riffs don't have political leanings.
I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't know. It's a weird topic, and you know, I don't fully know if I want to go into it, but it's one of those things, like, at some point, like, you know, you have to, you know, you gotta stick by, you know, what you did. And if they did something really bad, you know, I can understand people not supporting them and stuff like that. And, you know, I don't really think you have to support them at this point because, you know, they're not a band anymore.
That's true.
You know, two of the members aren't with us anymore.
Yeah. It's not like they're touring.
You know,
and yeah. So
I just choose, like, personally to, like, you know, when I think Pantera, I just think about my childhood, you know, my grandparents owned a club in Fort Worth, a rock venue called Savvy's.
Oh, cool.
In the 80s. And, you know, that's one of the clubs Pantera got their start at. You know?
Whoa.
And so, like, when I was a baby, I was born in 86.
Okay.
And when I was, like, 2 years old and 3 years old, I was up at the club all the time because my mom worked up there because it was, you know, her family's club.
That's so sick.
And, like, I was my mom literally put me on Vinnie Paul's drums.
Oh my God.
And so, like, and I mean, you know, those guys, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's just a part of my childhood,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, I mean, I stopped listening to them at a certain point.
Yeah.
You know, because I was getting into other stuff and whatnot. But
yeah,
as I started getting deeper into the rabbit hole again in metal and learning more about the old school again, as I got older, I learned to just appreciate certain things about my childhood that I didn't realize were, like, so significant and impacting me.
Dude, that
was definitely one of them.
That's some pretty cool moments, man. When you were a kid and being able to be a part of that and just, you know, growing up, I'm sure like with your grandparents' club growing up in the Texas, you know, not necessarily just metal, but just music scene and being around that art, that's got to have made a major impact on you.
It did. I think it did so more like subconsciously because they lost their club, like because of like zoning and stuff like that, pretty like early on.
Okay.
So, I mean, like I didn't get to experience that lifestyle or anything into being a teenager. I once like they lost their club, like my mom like got out of doing that old stuff, and you know, it wasn't really about, you know, it was almost like it was kind of forgot about.
Okay.
And then I came back to it when I was like 15 or 16, getting into heavier music again. And then I started finding out all these stories and stuff when I was a kid. It was wild, man. Wild to be like, wow, I did that? I don't even remember when I was that old. So it definitely explains why I am the way I am.
Well, I usually like to ask people, like, what was their first album? But it sounds like you, you know, got into music at a young age, or at least were exposed to music at a young age. So let me pivot and ask this. What was your first band t-shirt?
Oh, man. My first band t-shirt. Man, it's crazy because as like a you know, when I could actually choose shirts, you know, I was, is when I started pivoting into like metalcore and stuff like that.
Dude, no shame. My first band t-shirt was a No Doubt Tragic Kingdom shirt. So there's nothing.
My very first, like I had two of them actually.
Okay.
They were both Slipknot shirts.
Okay.
But sick. I remember like when I was younger and I was at camp and I remember like another kid at the camp, like, he gave me his Slipknot shirt.
Nice.
Because he was showing them to me, and he and I was like, whoa, you know. And my mom had already like started to get me like CDs for Christmas, like, you know, Korn's Issues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so he was like, well, let me show you this.
Oh.
You know, showed me Slipknot, and I was like blown away. And you know, so I mean, that was probably my first shirt. And I remember like that shirt was so small.
Mm-hmm.
It was so small on me, but I loved it so much. It was so extreme.
Yep. Sick. What was your like entryway? What was your entryway into death metal?
So it was probably when I got into 10th grade, I think, is when my friend, an old friend I had named Daniel, showed me Decapitated.
Oh, what was it? Spheres of Madness?
Yeah, it was definitely Spheres of Madness. So he showed me that, and he showed me some other stuff too. Like he showed me like Old Man's Child.
Oh yeah.
Like black metal. And he showed me like, I'm trying to think.
Demiurge Borgir probably.
He showed me them. He showed me like Immortal. He showed me, what was it? Vital Remains. And I remember like, you know, seeing like, I don't really listen. I just have never really delved into Vital Remains.
Yeah.
You know, which people probably shame me for, but you know, I just never have, but I'll never forget that album cover. I don't even remember the name of the album, but with the hammer coming down on Jesus.
Yeah. De-Christianize. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, what the?
Jeez. You know, what's funny. It's funny is some of those albums are on Century Media.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like full circle, dude.
Yeah, man, it is, dude. And it's also stuff like Shadows. He showed me stuff like Shadows Fall.
Oh, yeah. I love that Shadows Fall
era. And I was
era.
Super into Shadows Fall. Yep. And I delved into like God Forbid just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't really remember much about them, but I remember like I was, you know, listening to them and, you know, I was all over the place, man. Like, I was all over the place listening to stuff. Even got in this. He showed me stuff like Fintroll.
Oh, okay.
He showed
me,
like, this band from, I think they're from Iceland, called Battle Lore.
Uh-huh. Yep. I remember
and
Battle
they're
Lore.
Like, they're, yeah, all, like, Tolkien-based, like, you know, they had, like, 9 members. And, you know, like, he was just like, oh, you know, you listen to Slipknot. Well,
here you
listen
go.
To this. You know, and he just started hammering me with Cannibal Corpse and, you know, everything. So that was kind of my like intro. And a lot of it I wasn't really feeling back then, you know, because some of it takes warming up to, especially when you're a kid and, you know, you're used to like Metallica and stuff.
I remember
I love Metallica, but
I downloaded a Youth of Today song. Granted, I love Youth of Today now, but I downloaded a Youth of Today song and I was like, no, this is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I remember when I went down my, when I went down the whole like hardcore punk route, it took me a while to really appreciate some of the old school stuff.
Yeah,
like from production and everything, because what I was used to hearing as a kid, one of them was like 10 Yard Fight, like that Hardcore Pride album. That was a really good one, and definitely like Breakdown. And, Breakdown was really good. And then who else was I like super into? Oh, like Madball.
Oh yeah, set it off.
So like when I when I started finding those bands, is I actually what pivoted me away from metal. And then I started getting into like I started getting into more hardcore because of the attitude and like and everything. And it's crazy because it all came back around, you know.
Yeah.
When I started a hardcore band, then I started like being like, man, I'm always leaning towards the more metal sounding hardcore, like Integrity.
Yeah.
You know, instead of the punk hardcore, you know, and before you know it, when I was looking for like inspiration to write, you know, all I was listening to was like Obituary and like metal bands and stuff. And so then I'm like, why am I playing this? Why don't I just play death metal?
Yeah, just play them.
That's
just
what
the metal.
I actually like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I still appreciate all that stuff, but it's crazy how life comes full circle, you know, like you said, and everything, you know, it's weird.
That's awesome, man. Well, you know, I'm not going to take up all your time today. I know you guys got a video shoot, but I did want to ask you, we all know the big four of American thrash metal, Megadeth, Anthrax, Slayer, and Metallica. In your opinion, since you guys are a death metal band, in your opinion, if you had to, and this is all time, just your personal, what's your personal big four of death metal?
Man, that's really difficult, dude. So I'd say it's Bolt Thrower.
Okay.
Bolt Thrower, Obituary, Cannibal Corpse, and Morbid Angel.
All right, dude. That was pretty easy for you, man. Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, those bands must be pretty influential for you. So, before I let you go, if you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got that scar, Chad.
Well, I guess, the most important scar on my body is the one on my lower back. It's a tattoo of the Mortician logo.
Oh, nice.
So, our bass player, Sam, is a tattoo artist, and she gave it to me. And we were trying to figure out, like, you know, we were talking about Mortician and how much we love them and how, like, just how funny it would be to get like, you know, a Mortician logo tramp stamp. And then she was like, no, I'm serious. Let's do it.
Oh my God.
And I was
that's
like,
amazing.
All right, let's do it. And we did it. So I have it.
That's so sick. Well, congratulations on the release of Crypt of Ice. It's available now. What's the best way to support you guys? Since we can't, you know, see you guys live.
The best way to support us is just follow us on the social media, the platforms that we have, Twitter and Instagram. It's all Frozen Soul TX.
Okay.
Follow us on Spotify and you know, hit the links that are in our bios and, you know, order the record.
Yeah.
It's not pre-order, it's out now, but
yeah, pick it up now.
Order the record and
buy a shirt.
Pick it up and listen to the songs, share things, support, and, you know, and keep music going. I mean, most importantly, just stay safe and keep your friends and family safe so you can see us when shows open back up.
Absolutely, man. Again, Chad Green from Frozen Soul. Thanks, bro.
Yeah, man. Have a good one.
You too.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.